Sunday in my church, we have a number of public Bible readings, from first lesson, second lesson, some appointed for the service, to the epistles reading. Now, when I'm not distracting myself by whispering something to my wife's ear, I pay attention to these readings and I learn a lesson or two. At home, I share these lessons with my family. And on Sunday Lesson Podcast, I document these lessons for future reference and for anyone who cares to get them. Hello and welcome to Sunday Lessons Podcast. I am Brother IJ. Now, we have gotten to the last episode on this series of lessons from Romans chapter 12. And I think I call this whole thing Equipped or Gifted to Serve God. Yes, I think that's the name of this series. In case you just stumble on one and you want to get the rest of them, there are seven of them. This one is the last. There are other six episodes before this one. So please, I think you should just go to the website or the podcast channel and search for Bro IJ or Brother IJ to get these materials. Now, to get the rest of the episodes. Now, here's the thing from verse 8 of Romans chapter 12. If you are gifted to encourage others, be encouraging them. If it is given, give generously. If God has given you leadership skills, take that responsibility seriously. If you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. The point I want to take out from here is that one other translation I read, I think is NIV, said, if it is to lead, do it diligently. And I want to talk about diligence in the use of our gifts. First point I want to make is that God is a businessman. And I say that not, of course, sometimes we think business people are bad people who want to take advantage of people. No, that's not the sense I mean here. When I say that God is a businessman, I say to mean that he doesn't like wasting resources. He wants to maximize resources. He wants to put them to best use. He wants to put them to productive use. That's why Jesus Christ said, I will do the work of he who sent me while it is day. For night comes when no man can work. So Jesus Christ even went about his ministry with that mindset. He understands that God has given me a day to work. I cannot squander the day because at night I can't work. So in the same way, God works with that. That's how God operates. And I think in the use of our gift to serve others, in the use of our gift to serve God, please, we have to bear this thing in mind. We can't become lazy people. Whatever God has given us, please, we have the assignment to do it well. I want to remind you something from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead where you are going, there is neither working nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. That's NIV. Good news say, work hard at whatever you do, because there will be no action, no thought, no knowledge, no wisdom in the world of the dead, and that is where you are going. Amplify say, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol. That's the place of death where you are going. We see scriptures tell us that we have to work hard. Now, I understand that Ecclesiastes is Old Testament, but please don't ever make the mistake of thinking that hard working is an Old Testament phenomenon. It's not an Ecclesiastes and Proverb practice. It's a practice that applies everywhere. In case you don't know, that's why, I think it was Paul writing to Timothy. He said that the elders who labor in word, and you understand that, my emphasis from that passage is that he recognized that those who labor in word, labor is a form of hard work. Please, brethren, we have to do our work diligently. We have to deploy the gift that God has given us what diligently. It's not only the leader who has been given the assignment to lead that should work diligently. The preacher too should work diligently. He should spend time studying the word of God. He shouldn't just walk up to church and then start blabbing. He should not come to church unprepared. He shouldn't come to teach without taking time to study. The person who is a secondary school teacher or primary school teacher too should study. He should look at how to do it. Teach. What are the research that has been done about teaching children? How many of them can I use and adapt in my own context? He should study to make sure he's grounded, study to know what he's training, study to be able to do his work well. Study to even understand his subject well. That is actually part of being diligent in the work, in the gift that God has given us. If you are supposed to encourage, I think you need to understand that part of being diligent is that You need to be able to support those who need to be encouraged and ensure you encourage as many of them that you should per day. As many are really plenty. Do you understand that? If your job is actually to give to others, you should be able to identify who needs to be given to and how do I ensure I give them in a way that is pleasing to God. Somebody is wondering, how do I give in a way that's pleasing to God? But yes, there's a way that's pleasing to God. The Bible says he who refuses to work should not eat, or who is not willing to work should not eat. Generosity does not include or does not allow you to violate the order of God that says that the man who is not willing to work should not eat. Generosity is not supposed to make you fund any and every crazy thing that comes across your way. You have to ensure that you utilize the money God has given you in a manner that is pleasing to him. You can't just give to any and everything because God made you generous. I mean, because God gave you the gift of generosity. No, you can't. So we understand again that we don't have the right to waste the resources of God. We have to go about the work God has given to us with diligence. Many Christians are lazy because we think that God does everything, or God will do it. God will do it. Yes, God is all powerful, and there's really nothing he can't do. In the sense that he's all-powerful, he's almighty. However, he doesn't just do anything. He will not move when you refuse to move. Like, what I mean is, if you decide not to yield yourself to be used by him, he can't do much about that particular situation. He has either has to raise another person or something else. So, Biko, we are learning again today that we have the assignment to do what? To go about the work we have been given with diligence. So we understand that we have the assignment to actually, we have this instruction to work hard. There's no room for laziness. Work while it is day. There's a time you get to, you can't actually use that gift again in case you don't know. Yes, it's one of the things that struck me, and it's sobering to just realize that, yes, the thing Jesus Christ talked about, the fact that you have to work while it is day, for night comes when no man can work. It's not just about the thing Jesus Christ talked about, working while it is day, for night comes when no man can walk. It's not just about night and day in the way we know the rotation of the earth. And it's also about the fact that there is something called the days of your youth in Ecclesiastes 11 or 12. When you have energy, when you have time, that's one. No, but still the other side to it is, there's another concept that is, actually, the people you are supposed to labor for. For example, the person you are supposed to teach the word of God as a teacher, the person you are supposed to give encouragement, the person you are supposed to be generous to, you are supposed to do it at a particular time. If you fail to do it at that time, night literally comes when you can't do anything. So we learn again that we have this assignment to do one thing, to work diligently. I hope we understand that. There's no replacement for diligence. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you lazy. The Holy Spirit actually, and the grace, literally enables you to do much more. Yes, get much more result than is normal. And we can't waste grace by being lazy. Do you understand that? We can't waste grace by being lazy. So please, for them, whether you are called to teach, whether you are called to encourage, whether you are given ability of a leader, or the gift of showing kindness, please let's understand. Whatever thing it is that God has called you to do or given you capacity to do, you have to do it diligently. And part of that diligence is that you have to get to work and work on time when the work can actually be done, not when things have really gone wrong. Do you understand that? Please, another thing I also want to highlight is that in addition to working hard, please, you also work hard cheerfully, organically, like the person that's supposed to show kindness. Now, some people show kindness out grudgingly. They say, no, I don't like this person, but I'm supposed to show kindness to him. So you just squeeze your face and show kindness to him. I mean, we don't have the luxury of doing that. Jesus Christ didn't give us a chance. The scripture tells us, when you want to show kindness, do it gladly. Point I'm trying to make is, again, the other side is, if you're supposed to give, please give how? Generously. It is not generous giving to give and blow your trumpet. It's not generous giving to give only to those you like. It's not generous giving to give angrily. It's not generous giving without wishing good to the person. It's not generous giving, you give telling your left hand what your right hand gave, like Jesus Christ used the expression. It's generous giving when the giving is motivated by love and giving cheerfully and generously. Brethren, we have heard the word of God, and I think I want to summarize all the things we said from the beginning like this. God has redeemed us with a great price. We saw that from 1 Corinthians. We don't own our body. And we are called today, again, from this passage we read in the church, to surrender our bodies to God as living sacrifices, or as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him. Even though we are still moving around, we still can think and do different things. The instruction we have is that we don't own these bodies and we should surrender it to the real owner. Your wife doesn't own your... Okay, someone is saying, my wife doesn't own my body. How about the Bible that says your wife belongs to you? You get what I'm saying? Yes, your wife owns your body in that sense. Your husband owns your body in that sense. But the sense I'm trying to make is that you are, both of you are actually slaves to Christ. Both of you are God's slaves, and you surrender your body and your life to Him. Yes, please. In fact, the implication of this is that you can't just do as you want to. So you cannot say, my husband vexed me, so I'll close my legs for him. No, you can't. You are using your body just the way you want, not how God wants you to use your body, if you do that. Where God wants you to use your body is that you should allow your husband to do. Yes, that's how God wants you to use your body. The way God wants you to use your body, bros, is that you should stick with your wife alone. Like, they used to say this nonsense. Like, they somehow have to be eating one or two at a time. And this is my own response, even before I got married. I pray God helps me to sustain this. I said, oh, if eating one or two is boring, I can spice it up. One day I'll eat a one with onugbu. That's bitter leaf. Another day I'll eat a one with ogo. Another day I'll eat a one with oporoko. Another, spice it up. Try and put variety in that your one ogbono soup so you can enjoy the ogbono soup for the rest of your life, because you don't have chance to take another one. And that gets me to the another lesson we learned about not conforming to the patterns of this world. The world can tell you they will take ogbono, they will test different soups. You understand what I mean by soup in this context? But brother, you can't. I can't. We are condemned to one soup for the rest of our lives. And our duty is to find a way to enjoy it, because we cannot not enjoy it. If we say we are not going to enjoy it, it will lead us to use our body as though our body belongs to us. But it does not belong to us. It has been put on the altar of God as a sacrifice that is living, and it should be acceptable and without blemish. Do you understand that? The other lesson we also learned is the fact that we have to have our mind transformed. Please, find a way to get access to the Word of God. Pay attention to the Word of God. Learn. Do it diligently. Try and come to church. Yes, come for whether your church does intramatin Sunday school or Sunday school before church. Please come. That 45 minutes to 1 hour. I don't know about other people, but for me, it's the most important time of my time in church. It's not because I teach Bible study in church, but even when I don't teach Bible in church, I still want to learn. Even as a teacher, I still learn a lot by the contribution people give. So why would you miss that? It's as you learn that your mind is renewed. And when your mind is renewed, you can now know what's the will, perfect and acceptable will of God. The good and acceptable will of God. And then please, no matter how good, big, high, anointed, strong, spiritual, connected to God you are, please just understand that we belong to each other and you can't push us away. As annoying and as irritating our behaviors are, our dressing, our manner of life are, as long as it's not sin, even if it's sin itself, brother, we belong to the same Christ, we belong to the same body, and you can't run away from us. You can't throw us away. No matter how big you think you are, big I think I need you. And in case you don't know, you need me. There is something I'm supposed to supply to the body of Christ as a member of that body. If you run away from me, if you isolate yourself from me, you will not get it. We belong to each other. And as we belong to each other, we are gifted differently. We have been gifted differently to serve each other. We have given different gifts, different range of them. The job, the instruction we have is that for every gift we have been given, our job is to utilize the gift well, utilize it to full capacity, and work diligently Very importantly, is to walk like Jesus Christ, who said, I will do the work of him who sent you while it is day. For night comes when no man can walk. There's a time that is night. My brother, you don't want to wait until night when you can't walk again to start using that gift. I'm sure that's not what you want to do. So let's get to work to use the gift God has given us to serve him. I hope you understand the point. I hope God gives me understanding from the reading from next Sunday, and then I'll get to share the lessons with you. Again, you can always find this lesson on the website. If you want a link to this website, I think I'll have to put some of these things on social media. Thank you very much for going through this series of lessons with me from beginning to the end. And of course, your feedbacks are welcome. You just listened to an episode of my podcast. More episodes, blog posts, and books are available for free download on broij.com. Your feedback and questions are welcome through hello@broij.com or 0806-3967-498 on WhatsApp. To get snippets of my Bible notes on the go, follow me across social media platforms @TheBroIJ.